The text is the gospel from Matthew, as it was Mark 2, reading from the 23rd verse. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" Here ends the text. In places in our denomination, there is controversy about the law. The truth is, there's always controversy in the hearts of Christians as part of the struggle between the old man and the new. Should I feel guilty? Why do I always feel guilty? Have I kept the law sufficiently not to feel guilty? Can I ignore the law altogether? Should I? Let's see how the Lord of the law settles the controversy. First, the law hits you right between the eyes. The Pharisees got it when Jesus pointed out that they were accusing his disciples of breaking the Sabbath law while ignoring what they had read about David breaking the law in God's holy house. Why were they upset about his disciples eating someone else's grain that was not against the law in general, or even against the Sabbath law in particular, and not upset about David and his men eating what the law strictly forbade them to? But see, the problem is these laws don't hit you right between the eyes. They pertain to a Sabbath and a tabernacle that you've never known. No, the right between the eye law for you in this text is Jesus' question. Have you never read what David did? The Greek form tells you Jesus expects a yes answer. Yes, of course these Pharisees had read the account. Have you? I've preached on this account 4 times over 18 years, and have any of you gone home and read the account that Jesus expects you to have read? The law that hits you right between the eyes is that you won't go home and set aside 10 minutes to read about David and Abiathar. No, you've sat through a 15-minute sermon and 75 minutes worth of church. You're done doing Bible for this week. Done? Have you even gotten started in the Old Testament? 70% of all of God's words to mankind are in the Old Testament. And aside from the Psalms and maybe creation, flood, and the stories of the big names, you know none of the Old Testament. And you're good with that. As if when Jesus commanded, "Search the scriptures, because these are about me," he was talking about the New Testament. No, it's 30 AD. He could only have been talking about the old. The Testament, which is a closed book to you. And you're okay with that. That's the law right between the eyes. But it really hasn't hit you like that if you're still on your feet. No, if the law has hit you the way God means it to, it's mung punching the horse in blazing saddles. You drop like a rock. You don't stagger around. You stagger around with the doable law. You say to yourself, "I'm going home and I'm going to read the Old Testament today. It takes 52 hours and 20 minutes to read it all. If I read just 3 hours a day, and I certainly waste that much time on TV, Facebook, and YouTube, I'll be through in less than 18 days. See, you're in a real pickle with a doable law. It's either horrible or damnable. C.S. Lewis illustrates this, though not meaning to, this way. In waking life, when you're awake, a man knows it's impossible to have a huge pile of wheat, barley, poppy, rye, and millet seeds and sort them into separate piles. The horrible torment of the dream, and the doable law, I add, is in the dream, it can be done. and you're doomed to do it. The Pharisees thought by not picking grains on the Sabbath, or perhaps by not grinding them in their hands, they were pleasing God. They were doing something for God, and they knew they could do it, even as you know, you're able to go home and just read an hour of the Old Testament a day, and you're going to be done through by the end of July. And what's so bad if I do that? Just when do you think it'll be okay for you to stop reading the Old Testament? And what about those long lists of names you zone out while you read it through the first time? And haven't you mixed poppy seeds with barley and wheat with rye? Okay, start over. You walk out of here with a doable law, and you're faced with a mountain of seeds that need sorting, or with the flames of hell licking at your feet. And the real problem is, either way, you'll be happy for a while. Damned happy, if you catch my past tense. With a doable law, either you see God has given you a pile of seeds, which you can sort if you try hard enough, or a target that you bullseye every time. Let me illustrate the latter. The FBI was called in to investigate the work of a mysterious sharpshooter. They found bullseyes all around town, shot through dead center. They found the shooter, and they asked him, where did he learn to shoot so accurately? The answer was that he shot first and drew the bullseye around wherever he had shot. That's the doable law that damns. You lower the law's absolute standard to your own. My guilt over not paying enough attention to the Old Testament, that can be assuaged by reading it every other day, then once a week, then once a month, and then by watching the movie The Ten Commandments or the Old Testament on my mobile device at stoplights. This is what the Pharisees did. They expanded the third commandment into 39 categories of works, each having anywhere from 2 to 13 prohibited works under them. Now, you'd think that expanding the law would expand guilt, and it does for the person who thinks the seed pile is sortable. But for the bullseye drawer, it contracts the law to whatever he is doing or not doing. The answer to the law hitting you between the eyes and laying you out is not excuses that you will do better or justifications that you have done good enough. The purpose of the law is not just to lay you out, but to kill you. In Romans 7, Paul says, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not lust. The law, don't lust, only made me lust all the more and more until I was so filled with lust, I dropped dead. And what's the answer to death? Resurrection. What's the answer to being dead in your trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians 2? Not setting to work on the seed pile, not drawing your own bullseyes, but God being rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. The answer to an undoable, damning, deadly law is the Son of Man, who is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus plainly tells the Pharisees that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God did not make man so he could keep the Sabbath law, so man could do something for God. On the contrary, Ezekiel 20:12 says, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between us, so they would know that I, the Lord, make them holy. The command to rest from physical labor was not for God's sake, but their sake. They could know that they did not have to work 7 days a week. God could and would provide for them. But this rest from physical labor was more importantly a sign that the Lord would give them it was a sign that the Lord would give them rest for their souls. Rest is a very important concept in the Old Testament. We sang the Venite today, which is most of Psalm 95, but not all of it. Right after the Venite ends, Psalm 95 goes on to say, don't harden your heart to entering the rest that the Lord promises. Now follow that Old Testament concern for entering God's rest from its roots in Exodus to it being hymned in Psalms to it being all over the book of Hebrews. God's ultimate concern in giving the law was that people not miss his rest, the holiness that only he could provide. Colossians 2, 16 and 17 is crystal clear. The Sabbath law was a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. A shadow indicates what is coming. A shadow passes away. You grab onto a shadow of your loved one and you've missed your loved one. The Sabbath law was a shadow of the approaching Christ. It was to expose the fact that they couldn't keep God's law enough to satisfy him. They couldn't find rest by doing enough works, sorting enough seeds, or being satisfied with whatever they could do, drawing bullseyes. No, the coming Christ was the real rest. He could do, he would do, and he did do all that God commands and demands of you. He sorted the seed pile and he never missed the mark. He never lusted, never was greedy, never was unbelieving, never doubting, and yet he was brutally, eternally, and damnably punished for the fact that I don't even try to sort the seeds or am satisfied with the little that I do. Christ crucified is the answer to the law that slays you, damns you, and takes all your excuses away. Underneath his outstretched arms on the cross, there's shelter from the storm of God's judgment. Underneath the wings of his cross, you are safe from the calamity of God's judgment on you for your sins and the judgment that is coming upon the whole world. Plunged into that fountain filled with Christ's blood, sinners lose all their guilty stains. Even Lady Macbeth can no longer see her damned spot in this fountain. Now, at this point in the sermon, I would normally point you to where that fountain filled with blood is for you. And it's not that you don't need to be told again and again that it's there in your baptism. It's there in my absolution. It's there in your communion with Christ's blood. But there's a special lesson here in this text. It goes back to Jesus' query about what David did in the days of Abiathar, the high priest. Abiathar was not the high priest, as the Pharisees well knew. Ahimelech, his father, was. It was Ahimelech who fed David, and Ahimelech paid for it with his life for doing that. So did all the other priests. Saul commanded his guards to kill them, but they wouldn't kill clergymen. Doeg the Edomite would. Abiathar alone escaped. So he is now the high priest. He flees to David, who says, stay with me, don't be afraid. The man who is seeking your life is seeking mine also. You will be safe with me. Jesus is both the high priest and the son of David. And the Pharisees are Saul's, seeking his life. But all those with Jesus are safe from Pharisees who misuse the law by making you always guilty while they never are, and by pointing you to your keeping of the law as the answer to your guilt. The only answer to your guilt and the accusing law is Jesus' righteous life and shed blood. About that, there is no controversy. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.